Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Well, last week we explored our mission statement. It's right up there on the wall. We inspire spiritual growth through honoring many paths, education, prayer, sacred service, and abundant living. Got that?
Got it.
You can all do it from memory, right?
Nope.
I won't make you do it. A funny thing happens when some people ask, even me, they'll ask me, what is your mission statement? And I'm there, Anybody have that experience? Yes. It's okay. Today, we're going to explore our vision statement. Our vision statement is much simpler. Centered in love, we see a harmonious world of divine expression. It's a wonderful, although very kind of generic statement. You could interpret it many different ways. It's not very precise. And yet, it does encapsulate the core of Unity philosophy and the core of the philosophy that we strive to live right here at Unity Spiritual Center. Through love, we can recognize and manifest the inherent divinity in each and every human being and ourselves and all creation. So let's explore this through the lens of our Unity principles. We know that when we emphasize love as a foundation for a harmonious existence and expression of the divine, that we are calling it into expression. We are energizing simple words. Simple words that on the surface are short, not very specific, but yet have great power. And maybe that's the beauty of it, in that it's not very specific. It allows for a broader understanding of what that love is and how we express it. In Unity, we know that love is not merely an emotion. It's the very essence of the divine. It transcends human understanding and manifests as energy, as all-encompassing energy that connects everything. I'm going to pull my wire up. Somebody else used my mic this week, and it's not cooperating well. I love it, though. I see the harmony and the divine within it. But I want to repeat what I just said. Love is an all-encompassing energy. Think about that. It's an all-encompassing energy, and that all-encompassing energy connects all creation, all things. We say that God is love. And as expressions of the divine, we too are made in the same essence. This is a spiritual principle that traditional Christianity has really not been real clear on. I grew up in a denomination that said, God is love, God is only love, but God really doesn't like the way you're acting. And if you don't change, God is going to send you to hell. And even when I was a child, I thought, that does not make sense. Am I the only one? Did anybody else ever think that?
Yes.
Yeah. How could a God that is only love and all loving condemn someone to eternal damnation? We know that God is love. End of story. Period. There is no ifs. There is no buts. God is love. And we are created in the image and likeness of God. Guess what that means? That means our very nature is love. Our very nature is divine. And so every opportunity we are given to express that, when we're aware of this, we bring it more to the fore. We begin to respond and react in love and as love. We begin to change our thinking about who we are as individuals and who everybody else is, and maybe even what all of creation is. I'm going to talk more on that in a minute. The great Unity writer Margaret Ponder wrote this: love is knowing that each person has the Spirit of God within them just as we do, and therefore deserves our respect and the freedom to express the Spirit in their own unique way. You hear that? The freedom to express the Spirit that God is in their own unique way. Which is why we are able to say in Unity that God and Unity and I love you just the way you are. And when we get into that consciousness, love becomes transformative. Have you ever thought that love is a transformative power? When we center ourselves in love, we tap into that power. Bill sang about it in his song just now, love. What was the line? Love must win, love must expand, love must... That's it. Love must break through. No matter what's going on in the human ego mind, love must break through. Love invites us to look beyond the surface of our challenges and our conflicts, urging us to see the potential for growth and understanding. When there is a challenge, when there is a conflict, we can either respond in like energy with more conflict and more contention, or we can respond in love and understanding. Now, sometimes we do have to set boundaries for safety, but we can still respond in love. We can practice forgiveness. We can practice compassion. We can practice acceptance. And as expressions of love, we are able to then begin to dissolve barriers and cultivate harmony, both within us and around us and in our relationships. We talk about seeing a harmonious world. What is a harmonious world? It is one where the divine expression is recognized and honored and celebrated. Each person is seen as a unique embodiment of the divine, not different, except different as a different way of expressing the divine. You know, it's funny, we as human beings have this desire to have everything the same. We see it happening in our society today. There's vast forces at work that want us all to be exactly the same. But if we're awake to the power of love, we say, I don't want everybody to be the same. I want to see each of your own unique, wonderful lights. Yeah, amen. The vision ignites us to recognize the divinity in each individual as each individual, which promotes then inclusivity and acceptance. You know, one of our five basic principles is that we are created in the image and likeness of God. I said it a few minutes ago, and I'm saying it again because it is so important. We tend to think of God as up here, a perfection that we can never be like. And yet we are told from the very beginning in Genesis, we are created in the image and likeness of God. Now, in ancient times, that didn't mean we look like God. That meant that we have all of the attributes of God, that we have the nature of God within us, that we are little godlets being godlike if we so choose. We laugh, but you are godlets. And you can be godlike. You can be joyful. You can be loving. You can have fun. We are as God is, and God is love. Therefore, our true nature is love. And if we were to be in that place of love, we would recognize that all of our principles, all of the other principles that serve as our guiding lights, are contained within that one idea of love. What are some of those other principles? What are some of the other things that we believe, or at least say we believe, that are contained within that? Well, the first one is oneness. We recognize that we are all interconnected. We are part of a larger whole. And that encourages us, hopefully, to interact with each other in love and with consideration for others. You know, we could carry it even further and say that we recognize that we are all interconnected and part of a larger whole that includes all of creation. all of creation, filling us with compassion for the earth, for all life upon it, for our environment. How differently would we look at the world if we got that? How differently would we treat our world if we understood the deep level of connection that we have? Energetically, science has proven that we are all the same energy. There is no point where I end and you begin. There is no point where I end and this podium begins. On a molecular atomic level, it's all just atoms vibrating at different frequencies. Some of them vibrate as the avatar that holds my soul, that I am, at least in this moment. Some vibrate at a level that is a podium, and it's being the best podium it knows how to be. What if we could really understand that? What if we could understand that the plants and the animals and the air and the water is a part of us? And that what we do to any one piece of creation, we do to ourselves. Ancient peoples have taught that since the beginning of time. Another one of our ideas is the idea of positive thinking. We know that our thoughts shape our experience. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And so we strive to cultivate an environment of love, creating harmony as a reality. We keep our thoughts positive, and what we give our thought energy to increases. How many of you are thinking that the economy is bad? Nobody's brave enough to raise their hands. Stop it! Your thought is feeding that negative energy. We live in an abundant universe. Yes, there's challenges with making sure everybody has abundance. But we can change that as we change our thinking. Ever hear this? That which I fear has come upon me. The book of Job. Well, if you put all your energy into the fear, guess what you're going to experience? Whatever it is you're afraid of. We can influence the world around us, ourselves, not by going out there and saying, you gotta change, or this has to change, but by changing our energy, our thinking. What we put our energy into increases. What if all of us got into that? There have been experiments done where they've gotten thousands and thousands of people in different places to change their thinking about what is going on around them, and guess what? It works. It works. So one of the ways we do that is through affirmative prayer. Affirmative prayer allows us to align our intentions with divine ideas of truth, focusing on love and harmony in our lives and the world. I grew up, you know, prayer was either something very rote or begging God to intervene or Jesus to intervene or somebody to intervene. That's not how it works. We affirm in prayer what already exists in divine mind. God sees creation as perfect. Prayer helps us get into that understanding. And when we get in that understanding, then we begin to help bring about that perfection in the world around us. Or we can do the opposite and lower the vibration. But when we come into that vibration of oneness, that vibration of interconnectivity, we embody love because that's the nature of it. And that creates a ripple effect. And it impacts creation itself. On the quantum level, we know that the observer affects the observed. There was a book written many, many, many decades ago called The Secret Life of Plants, in which they did studies on people who worked around plants and were with plants and how their attitudes and their thoughts affected the plant itself. If it affects plants, it affects people, and it affects creation. So with each higher vibration of love, each act of kindness, of understanding, of support, we contribute to the collective atmosphere of harmony. And so we are encouraged to be mindful of our thoughts and our actions, knowing that they have the power to uplift or to push down. Charles Fillmore said it, and I believe it, that the great problems we have created, take for example climate change, can easily be solved and the effects reversed if we could but get into that vibration. If we were smart enough to cause climate change, guess what? We're smart enough to heal it, to solve it. We just got to stop believing in the impossibility of it and start believing in the possibility of it. Think about it. Tesla said, everything in the universe is frequency and vibration. Higher forms vibrate at higher levels. Higher thinking is a higher frequency of thought. Destructive energy is a low vibration. So if we raise our vibration, we move into a place of creativity. We step out of that third dimensional thinking into fifth dimensional thinking. And the bridge is love. That is why we can say that thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. What level of thought are we holding? If we don't experience the harmony that we know exists in the divine mind, it is because we are operating at a lower frequency. And our purpose, our opportunity, is to raise our vibration, to raise our frequency, because then we begin to see and be the truth that is all around us. But it's challenging. Are you all good at doing it every day? I'm not. It's challenging. How do we overcome these challenges? Well, the first thing is we address the ideas of fear and separation. Because I believe every problem we have on the human level is a result of fear and separation. Love is the foundation of a harmonious world, but fear and a sense of separation obstruct the vision of that love. In unity, we are taught to confront these challenges by recognizing that they stem from a misunderstanding of our true nature. Throughout history, there has been this consciousness that we have to fear things around us. And so part of our brain is wired to look for something to be afraid of, something to be worried about, waiting for the other shoe to drop. I never understood where it was dropping from. It's dropping from here. Interestingly enough, feet, shoes in this case, represent understanding. What's our level of understanding? Are we understanding that something bad is out there just waiting to pounce on us? Or do we understand that we live in the light of God? That we are God-lights expressing God? Do we understand that as Jesus said, we can be the light of the world if we so choose? We are the light of the world, but we have to choose to be it consciously. And when we do that, we empower those around us to do the same. By grounding ourselves in love, we dispel fear and we move into a place of unity, which means we come into the consciousness not of sameness, but a tapestry of ideas where we can embrace diversity. Not just diversity physically, religiously, racially, sexually, politically, but a diversity of ideas, a diversity of dreams, a diversity of hopes. Each of us has unique ideas. One of you may hold the solution to something we're all struggling with. We don't know. But if we're all trying to be exactly the same, it's not going to come out into expression. And so we strive in unity to empower people to live their own unique lives, because diversity is a tapestry. A tapestry, as I said, of ideas, of dreams, of hopes. Each person's unique experience and perspective enriches the collective understanding of love and harmony. And by embracing these differences, engaging in open, loving dialogue, we foster a sense of connection. Remember that I said at the beginning of this lesson that our vision statement is good as far as it goes. The challenge I see is that we could go deeper in a vision statement. Maybe we could come up with an expanded version of that gives practical steps towards creating a harmonious world. But we're not going to do that right now. What we can do right now is seek practical steps to bring this forth. Step one, cultivate inner love. Cultivate that love that's within us. Cultivating inner love manifests that harmonious world. But first, and this is important, if we want to cultivate a love for everybody else, where do we have to start? Ourselves. This involves self-acceptance, recognizing our inherent worth, which allows us to fully accept ourselves and creates a foundation for loving others. Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Up until that moment, his people had lived with 10 commandments and 640, I believe it is, laws. And they were very specific. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. By the way, all of you and me break all of those laws all the time nowadays. I'm doing it right now, wearing different types of fabrics, cutting my hair. I heard a rumor we might have shrimp later. Yes? Oh, next week. Okay. Well, we're going to be breaking one of the laws next week, you know. And it's all your fault. Those were the laws, and they were important. And Jesus was said, you know, I can imagine the crowd around him saying, Jesus, come on. We got 640 laws. Who can keep all those straight? What's the greatest commandment? And he said, the greatest commandment is this: to love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Let's be honest. The one thing we really suck at is loving our neighbors, right? Look at what we say to each other about religion, about politics, about orientation. Why is it so hard to love our neighbor? Why? Because we haven't really learned to love ourselves. We engage in negative self-talk. We think we are not worthy. We think we are not lovable. We think we are not smart, not thin, not fat, not good-looking, not intelligent. So, of course, we think about our neighbors the same way. What if we changed our self-talk and our self-thought? What if we stopped listening to all the voices out there, and there's a lot of them, that will tell you things that are simply not true about yourself? What if we truly remembered that we are created in the image and likeness of God? And that is perfection itself. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect," which was a mistranslation, because what he said in Aramaic was, "You are therefore perfect, just as your God in heaven is." So one of the ways we can do that is by changing our thinking. And we do that through practices such as meditation. Meditation, and particularly mindful meditation, literally rewires our brain, rewires our thoughts, rewires our emotions, and it aligns them with love and compassion. Another thing we do is daily affirmations. Affirm things that reinforce love, self-love, and love for others, shifting our mindsets, opening our hearts to the expression of who we truly are. And then engaging in community. That's why we come to church. That's why you are here in this room right now and on Facebook. But it's more powerful when we are together in person. Community plays a crucial role in this. It fosters harmony. It allows us to gain ideas from one another, support, to feel that energy when we look into each other's eyes when we're sitting in the community hall, breaking bread together. Another way we do it is through service. Service is love in action. It allows us to express love in tangible ways. It's the outworking of a loving, enlightened consciousness. And I would say probably everybody in this congregation either serves or has served in many different ways. I know, I've known you long enough to know that is the truth. You know that. We create a safe place for dialogue, for talking, for exploring ideas. and we work to transform ourselves and our world. We imagine a world centered in love, which invites us to consider the implications of a world of peace, a world of justice, a world of equity, a world of inclusivity. It encourages us to envision a reality where love is the guiding principle, politically, socially, and personally. Ooh, boy, that's a tough one. But it does. We can picture it. And through our collective visioning, we can align our thoughts and our vibration with one another. So in conclusion, the vision statement centered in love, we see a world of harmonious expression, harmonious world of divine expression. It's not just an ideal. It's a call to action. By embodying love, by recognizing the divine within ourselves and within others, and actively working to bring that about, we can create a world that reflects this vision. As we engage in our unity principles and practices, we become co-creators of a reality that honors love and divine expression in all life and in all creation. Embracing this allows us to embark on a journey that not only transforms our own individual lives, but contributes to weaving a global tapestry of peace, of understanding, of harmony. Together, we can manifest a world centered in love, where divine expression flourishes in every heart and every community. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.